Brontosaurus, Pterodactyl, Triceratops, and my favorite, the T-Rex. All children love dinosaurs. Maybe because they're big, perhaps maybe because they're so mysterious. Either way, children and adults alike are intrigued when they see pictures as well as watch movies of dinosaurs. However, we need to ask ourselves, what year are we currently in? The answer, Tufshin Samach Zion. 5,767 years from the creation of man. According to scientists, Jurassic period occurred approximately 144 million years ago. Seems to be a bit of a contradiction. There are those that say that, in fact, dinosaurs did live. And some rabbis state that dinosaurs never really roamed the earth at all. But how is that possible? After all, there seems to be scientific evidence against them. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bereishis, we find Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. On the sixth day of creation, Hashem created man. In this garden, we find fully developed trees and animals. It's clear that God then created things with a history, with an old age. Perhaps we could theorize that Hashem also created fossils. Fossils that are millions of years old, to be interpreted by scientists today as living creatures, dinosaurs. But according to this logic, why would God do that? What's the point? Why would God create fossils? And the answer is as an nisayon. To test us, do we believe Bereishis Bara Elokim, that God created the world? Or perhaps Darwinism, evolution, natural selection? We all came from monkeys. Now, I don't feel it's necessary that we must believe that dinosaurs never roamed the earth. However, we must understand that whatever way we can interpret whether or not dinosaurs roamed the earth, that Bereishis Bara Elokim. But we're given this bechira, free will, to make our own decisions and choices. Hopefully an intellectual, intelligent decision to determine which one is, in fact, correct. The way that I appreciate and believe in my deepest resources of my heart, that Bereishis Bara Elokim, that there is a God, is based on the following analogy. Now, I was never in France, and I was never at the Louvre. But if I ever was, and I was standing right in front of the Mona Lisa, I would turn to the person right next to me, perhaps not even knowing who they are. And I would turn to them and say, "You see that painting, the Mona Lisa? Do you know who created it, who drew it?" And they'd say, "What are you talking about? This famous painting everyone knows was Leonardo da Vinci." I said, "No, you're wrong and they're all wrong. So what are you talking about? How do you think it was created if it wasn't from Da Vinci?" So I'll tell you how. "You know, there was a room with no windows and there was nothing in it. There was nothing in it except, of course, a large piece of paper. And on the perimeter of this room were paint cans. And those paint cans were opened up. And before the door was shut, someone picked up and put into this room a cat and then shut the door. And would you believe it? An hour later, they came back. They couldn't believe their eyes. This painting in front of us was created by this cat." So how did that happen? So I'll tell you. Remember, I told you there was paint on the perimeter of these rooms, all these paint cans. See, what happened was the cat got its paws in all the different kinds of paint. And it was jumping around all over the place, jumping and jumping. And with the paint on its paws, was able to create this painting in front of us, this painting we call the Mona Lisa. They would hear this and they would turn to me and they must say, you know, Rabbi, no offense or anything, but you're crazy. It's impossible. It's preposterous to think such a spectacular, beautiful painting could be created by random, by a cat. And I turn to them and say, you know what? You're right. But this is nothing but a painting. Look at the world we live in. And being a principal of a school, I'm fortunate enough to constantly be looking at science books. And if you read and learn science with an open eyes and open ears, you can draw such incredible levels of emunah and bitachon, such great levels of faith, by studying the world around us and by studying ourselves. The digestive system, the complexity of how air that we're breathing in right now is filtered throughout our bodies so that we can live. When one studies this, the rational answer must be that there is a God. Bracious Bar Elohim. However, don't take my word, because my opinion is biased, skewed, because after all, I'm a rabbi. Of course I'm going to believe Bracious Bar Elohim. However, I'd like for a few moments to quote, based on a book, Permission to Believe by Lawrence Kellerman. Words, quotes, not from rabbis, but from scientists. Dr. Michael Denton, an Australian microbiologist, once said, quote, even if only 1/100th of the connections of the brain were specifically organized, this would still represent a system containing a much greater number of scientific connections than in the entire communications network on Earth. Yale University's Lawrence M. Krauss once compared the odds of the universe expanding at the precise rate to the odds of someone guessing exactly how many atoms are in the sun. And finally, Dr. Harold Marowitz once explained, and I don't know how he got to these statistics, however, these numbers clearly are statistically significant. And he said that if you would take dice and roll double sixes, the odds of producing randomly a human being is taking that dice and rolling double sixes 100 trillion, and that's with a T, 100 trillion consecutive double sixes. Being a gambling man myself, I like the odds. Bracious Bar Elohim. There's a God. But any person who's an atheist or agnostic, how could they possibly deny God when we have all of these statistics going against them? Why would anyone choose evolution and Darwinism? Why would they choose to be an atheist and believe they came from monkeys? And I honestly don't believe that people really, in the heart of heart, believe they came from monkeys. As my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Zweig, used to always say, you will never go to someone's house who's an atheist, and they'll bring you into the living room, and in that living room is a mantle, and they point to a picture of a monkey, and they say, see that picture? That's my Alta Zaidi. That's my great-grandfather. So if that's so, why do people believe in Darwinism, that they came from animals? It's because if you don't believe in that, instead, believing Bereishis Bara Elokim, the moment you acknowledge that God exists, how could you just sit there? How could you say the words that you say? How could you do the things that you do? There's a God. Do you understand what that means? If you really, truly believed that there was a God in this world watching you, listening to you, you would be a completely different person. It's so much easier to justify your behavior and say, I'm an animal. I'm no different than any other animal. So therefore, I could do what I want. And don't hold me accountable. Don't hold me responsible. So then, what's the upside of choosing God? If it's so much easier that we can simply do what we want and not be held accountable for our actions, why should I believe in God? And I'd like to answer this by concluding with the following famous but very powerful story. There's a story of a rabbi who was on a train in first class seating. And he was sitting right next to a very intelligent man, a professor in evolution. This professor couldn't believe his eyes. All the time, every 5 minutes, this rabbi's grandchildren kept coming up to him and said, Zadie, can I get you a pillow? Grandfather, perhaps you want a drink? Over and over and over. The professor turned to him and said, I don't understand. You and I, we've been discussing philosophy. We're intelligent people. You're intelligent. I'm a brilliant man. However, your grandchildren respect you so much. My grandchildren, nothing. They won't even give me the time of day. What's the difference? How do you do it? How do they have such respect? He said, I'll tell you. You're absolutely right. We're very much alike. We're very similar. However, there is a difference between you and I. For me and my grandchildren, we believe in the Torah. And the greatest moment in history is when the Jewish people received that Torah. Therefore, when my grandchildren look at me, they look at me with such respect because they say, my grandfather is two generations closer to that momentous occasion of Har Sinai, of Kabbalah Satorah. However, you, as brilliant of a man as you are, you believe in evolution. You believe in natural selection. You believe that you come from monkeys. You come from an animal. Your grandchildren, when they look at you, they look at you and say that you're two generations closer to baboons and monkeys. And therefore, they don't respect you. Bereishis Bara Elokim. We were created B'Tselem Elokim, in God's image. And we're not animals. We're an Am Kadosh, a very holy and unique nation. Bereishis Bara Elokim. It may be very hard to accept this concept, to realize that you must do mitzvos and you have more rules and more responsibilities. However, as for me, I like the odds. Good Shabbos.